And you're from Helbury. Whereabouts are you?
Excuse me?
Texas, wonderful.
I'm in Texas.
So firstly, thank you so much for taking the time out to have a chat about anxiety and relationships and just everything that you're doing in the mental health space. Hillary, for people who may not be aware of the fantastic work you do, be able to just give a brief explanation of the therapy work you do and how you got into it and why you got into it.
Yeah, so I'm a psychotherapist and I own a private group mental health therapy practice, and I treat women and men, typically like 18 to 40s, who are struggling with a range of difficulties and mental health diagnoses, whether that's depression, anxiety, and other mood disorders, or more interpersonal difficulty with friendships, dating, family relationships.
And yourself, how did you get into your line of work? Have you, someone spoke, this woman is a goddess. How did you get into this line of work? Have you been through an anxiety disorder yourself, or is it just something that you were wanted to do?
Yeah, I grew up struggling with anxiety, which actually turned into a struggle with an eating disorder. And I ended up going to therapy and getting really great individual and group treatment that completely changed the course of my life. So I talked with some therapists and studied psychology in undergrad, and then decided to go to graduate school to pursue a degree in psychology so that I could hopefully have an impact on people who are struggling, like the impact that I had.
Would you say your turning point was definitely the therapy sessions?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea where I would be without it. It was just something that I felt, no matter how supportive family or friendships were, it was very different to have a third party who didn't know me, was educated in how the mind works in ways that I wasn't, and could have a more unbiased opinion to support me and guide me.
No, I completely agree with that. Why you say, when you've got family and friends and even co-workers and you do open up to them, which is great, there is, even if they say they're not being biased, I do feel like there is a little bit of bias there, isn't there? I think that's where therapy works well. And also, I love, obviously, therapists who've been through anxiety disorders themselves. I think there's just more relatability there than that haven't. That's just my personal view. And just regarding you said you did group therapy and individual therapy. What did you see as the benefits of each one of them? And regarding your practice, is it group therapy or individual that you offer?
So we offer individual, and we're currently, and couples, and we're currently building out some groups. I'd like to, in the near future, in the next few months, offer a group for supportive eating disorders, like groups that benefited me, and internal family systems and trauma. Whether that's what we like to call big T trauma, which people think of as like a car crash, a sudden death, loss of a loved one, things like that, or a little T trauma, which are more just ways in which, despite parents and family's best efforts, some of your needs weren't fully met or were neglected that impact how you view relationships, et cetera. So I'd love to offer groups on those varying topics. I see a lot of need for that. As far as my own personal experience for individual therapy, I felt like that was obviously more tailored to understanding who I specifically was and certain experiences in my life that I might not have noticed had an impact on the way I operated when I was an adolescent and young adult. And then group therapy was really validating because I could see and hear the different experiences and some similarities between my experience and other people's experiences. And it would help me challenge all the times that I would kind of gaslight myself into thinking that I made up my problems or my problems were not as big of a deal and I should just shut up and stop complaining kind of thing. Hearing other people, because I think it's easier to be empathetic for other people than to yourself sometimes. That was really helpful in addition to the
And did you find the group therapy daunting? Obviously you're dealing with anxiety in group situations at the time.
In an anticipatory way, yes. Before I actually started the groups, I was I found it daunting and I was anxious, but then really like the first 5 minutes of any group sitting down, when run by a good therapist, it makes a big difference in how safe and connected they can make it. It's not like you're in a good group. It's not like you're in some common space and people are like walking by or like coming in and interrupting randomly. It's a closed group, so the same people every week, you get to know, you understand the rules and how to respect each other, and it's really monitored by a therapist or two therapists in the room.
I can imagine the friendships in that time, especially if you keep it as the same group as well. Someone just put, is your therapy available worldwide? So I know we have a lot of people in the USA, but I know we have people outside of the USA. Do you do coaching or anything like virtual?
Yeah, we can definitely offer coaching, which is a larger umbrella. Psychotherapy typically implicates the use of insurance to some degree or another, so it gets a little sticky with different locations, but under a larger umbrella of coaching.
That's wonderful. That and awesome. I've got some questions from the community. They're more relationship based, because we know that obviously you've got good expertise in that. The first one is, how can I work on building my self-esteem and self-confidence to alleviate some of the anxiety I feel within my relationship?
So there's the personal work that you can do and then the work within the relationship. For personal, I would try to always, what I tell clients is to take stock in the relationships that lift them up, surround themselves with the people who they feel well perceived by, they feel seen by. I think it can harm an experience in a relationship, an insecurity in a relationship, when outside of that relationship, you're spending a lot of time with people who you feel misunderstood by. I mean, that can really amplify the anxiety. So I would say to definitely spend some time with the people who you feel see you the most and can also be honest with you and support you, and know what ways you want to be supported in. Also there's therapy work. Obviously I'm a proponent of that, of trying to understand yourself on a more clinical level for maybe some blind spots that you might not see. And then within the relationship, as much vulnerability, transparency, and open communication you can have. I think a lot of times when people are insecure in their relationship, that vulnerability causes them to go into themselves and not share what they're experiencing, which can have all kind of difficulties, because if you're not sharing your discomfort, unless you're some kind of professional actor, you're probably showing it in some other way, which leaves a lot of interpretation for your partner to have no idea why you're acting different or quiet or angry or irritable or whatever. So to try to speak with them about it and just not...
What would you say to people who say, that it's hard for them to get away from people who maybe aren't brilliant for the mental health. So maybe they're in a workplace and they're with people that they know are not very good for the mental health, but they obviously can't up and leave their job. What would your advice be to them?
It's a really good question. Twofold, because it depends on like the constraints and how really stuck they are with that individual. My first suggestion would be to see if there's any flexibility in ways that you can assert boundaries that would get you exposed to that person less often, whether that's switching teams within the company or switching your direct report or manager. If there's a way to do that, I would explore that and speak to whoever is the appropriate person to express your discomfort and see what can be done. If for some reason that's not the case, there's personal work that you can do as far as just like understanding that anything anybody says, this person in this case, is more of a reflection of them than it is of you. So trying to understand like, all right, this person's making me miserable because something has to be going on in their life. Like they are not happy with themselves. You don't treat people like this. If they're making me feel this way, something's going on with them. And I'm probably also not the only one they're making feel this way. So trying to just not internalize it and understand it in a more objective sense, but that's a lot easier said than done.
It is a lot easier said than done, but if you can master the technique, of so powerful, isn't it? So I definitely advise people to definitely work on that. Because if you can see someone's emotions and then not react on it, it's really going to help your anxiety levels. It's going to be just the next question is it possible for two anxious people to date?
Yes, it's possible. I think the most important thing is empathy and communication. So if you can say to your partner when, let's say, they're anxious in a specific environment or in reaction to a specific stimuli, to say like, okay, like, I know this is difficult for you. I have my things, I have my neuroses, I know that this is yours, how can I support you? And to view them as separate issues and not have them have your anxieties talk to each other, because the worst thing is when somebody's anxiety is not communicated well and then leaves a lot of room for the other person's anxiety to just pile onto that. So another a way of approaching that would be an us versus the problem situation versus a me versus you. So the most effort you can put in into just kind of taking a pause, being like, all right, we're really heated right now. Like, let's take a step back. Let's look at what we're actually talking about. And we're obviously both upset because something's going on and something's bothering us. But like, goal here is for us to be strong. So let's look at this as like us versus each of our own insecurities that are getting ramped up right now versus being at each other's
throat. What advice to two people may get triggered by the same thing, so that they may get anxious over the same thing? And I guess you just did touch on that. It's not to get entangled with the narrative. It's to be more individual, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gets more complicated when the anxieties are similar or the same. Like if two people have anxious attachment to the extent that there's this fear that the other person is going to leave them or that they perceive things, the slightest thing, as rejection or disinterest, that's pretty easily to compound on each other. So what you can do the most effectively is just, again, to like lay it out on the table as much as you can and maybe try, I call them I feel statements. So instead of like, you're making me feel like this, or you're gonna leave me, or whatever it is, this is making me feel, when you turn away, or that eye roll, or whatever it is, makes me feel like you don't want to be with me. So then that leaves a little more open-ended room for them to clarify, like, okay, that's not what's happening here.
Like you say, it's just a subtle change in the language, but it can really make all the difference. The next question is, are there any specific communication strategies that can help me express my feelings of anxiety to my partner?
I would answer that primarily with the same thing, which is I feel statements versus you, and also just trying to express to them that you're not trying to be contentious, even if you're really angry or if you're feeling contentious, and maybe before you even get to the place of communicating, you need to take a beat and talk yourself down a little bit before coming back together and communicating, so that you're able more to say, like, I recognize this is a me thing, or this is something that I'm not perceiving correctly, or maybe I am, like, can
and
you
I
help
just
me better
saw
understand?
Comment. They find it really hard to do that because when they're anxious with a partner, they close up and go backwards. So would you just say small steps on being communicate and maybe doing a different approach if they're not able to speak to them, maybe, I don't know, write them something or something like that?
Yeah. Something I like about writing is you can erase. You can backspace, you can erase, you can cross out. When we're feeling really heated, and if there's a risk of blurring something out that you might regret, you can't take that back. You can apologize, but it was said. Writing provides a little more, I don't love the word control, but for lack of a better word, control, autonomy over that impulse control that sometimes comes with your most insecure or angry moments.
That's really good advice. Someone spoke, can you suggest a technique of exercise to manage the physical symptoms that come with relationship anxiety? So we know anxiety is a lot, it's a full body reaction, many physical symptoms. Do you need to go to me?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to the physical symptoms that come with the insecurities and anxieties in relationships. I mean, a lot of these internalized, like, knee-jerk physical responses are things we learned from childhood and from a long time ago that might not even be contextually relevant to what's going on in your relationship. But more under an umbrella. So you might have, like, for example, a knee-jerk fear of, or a physical reaction to the prospect of something like abandonment, even though contextually you have gotten mentally to the place that that's not what's happening. The body is the first to respond and takes a little longer to calm down and to get there to a more rational, even baseline. What I suggest is to try to connect the mind and body as much as possible. So whether that's, there's a bunch of different techniques that can just get you out of your head by stimulating certain responses in your body. Something I love is the shock value of temperature. So, like, really cold water. I will literally get, like, a huge serving salad bowl of, like, water and ice and just dunk my head in it. Or cold shower, cold plunging. Just something to kind of take you out of your head because you're focused on what's happening with your body. Same could be said of grounding, like, barefoot to the grass and just, like, really paying attention to connecting to the most basic level of grounding yourself, stretching, yoga, a short low intensity exercise, anything where you're really taking yourself out of your head and more into your body tends to naturally calm you down a little quicker than just trying to think your way out of it.
When the anxious thoughts come, it's easy, isn't it, for someone to, especially if they're intrusive thoughts, for someone to ruminate on those thoughts and that trigger this anxious cycle of physical sensations and racing and repetitive thoughts. So yeah, I do like the idea of almost breaking the circuit. My go-to ones would be exercise, definitely. I do like ice baths, so just to start off the day. Like it's like a reset, which is really useful, and mindfulness as well. So within the moment, you say grounding, and I find that really helpful. And the last question from the community is: what role do past experiences of trauma in contributing to my feelings of anxiety within a relationship? So this could be trauma from maybe an ex relationship, or maybe from the person. What sort of role do you think that has in someone?
Unfortunately, a pretty big role, because that goes into that. There's this book, it's called The Body Keeps the Score. I highly recommend it, and it talks about how our body like takes stock of certain traumatic experiences, even like I was saying before, like even when our mind has already gotten to the place that we know this is not what's happening in real time. Traumas related to, which you'll see a lot in relationships, related to fears of being left or difficulties with trust, often originate in the young childhood years with family and parent relationships. So that can really influence, like if we have when we were younger, if needs were met inconsistently or unpredictably in a million different ways, that can impact how we view the stability or long-lasting lifetime of a relationship. As far as in later years, adolescence, adulthood, previous relationships, that's hard because it creates a bias. It's when you're hurt and or betrayed or trust is lost, it's inevitably harder the next time around to be vulnerable again and put your trust in somebody again. So that's a lot, that's more mental work of whether it's with a friend or therapy or journaling, trying to differentiate between present situation and past situation, and also take stock and empowerment in yourself when you're doubting yourself that you lived through that experience and you're using that as to make this informed decision that this is different and you're not just falling into patterns. Or if you are, that's a good exercise to recognize that.
Every failed relationship is a way of growing your new relationship, right? Because you can only learn from either your past mistake or ex-partner's past mistake. I just saw a comment that I just wanted to highlight. Someone said, what's the difference in psychotherapy and talk therapy?
They're the same. Different terminology for the same thing. In the mental health
space, we definitely have a lot of labels, isn't there? There's a lot of terminology, some for the good, some for the bad. And for everyone who wants to, firstly, support you on Instagram, secondly, maybe look at all the services that you do, where is the best place for them to have a look at everything that you offer?
Yeah, so on socials, my Instagram is this handle, which is HLW Therapy. It's actually the same handle for TikTok, HLW Therapy. And then my website, I really go rogue. It's HLWtherapy.com.
Excellent. So, and for anyone who listens to it'll be DLC Live in the next 70 hours. And yeah, please say thank you for sharing. A lot of comments that they wished you were the therapist. Maybe they will have a look at the service that you, maybe that could happen. So that's what I say. But yeah, thank you for sharing your experts. Thank you for the time. Great rest of your day. No problem. Look
thank
after
you
yourself,
Hilary. So you too. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.